All right, open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. And we will be looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning. I was just kind of looking around a moment or so ago and just thinking about how wonderful it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning to worship Him as a family. And I was thinking that because that's what this sermon's going to be about. The title is Loving the Family of God. And it is a good thing to be in a congregation where the members love one another as we are instructed to in God's Word. And I would imagine that that's just one of those things that we tend to take for granted. But this is a place we can come to when our lives seem to be a great big old storm that's just raging around us, you know. And things can be difficult and you might even be struggling to deal with some things, but to be able to come together as a family, a spiritual family, and worship God is one of the greatest blessings we have here upon this earth. And it prepares us, I believe, for what heaven's going to be like. On a much, much grander scale. And I believe in ways that we can't even imagine now, this prepares us for what eternity is going to be like. So we're going to turn our attention this morning to the family of God and how we should love and treat one another. And these words are given to us, as this whole letter is, it's given to us from the perspective of Paul giving instruction to Timothy, who is a pastor of a church. And so this is given to us through that perspective, that viewpoint of how a pastor should view the family of God and directions that would help Timothy in that regard. But as we've noted all along, these are things that we, all of us, can practice and should be practicing and observing in our relationships with each other. Now, there are several verses here that talk about these things. We're going to begin with, it's almost like this is a general overview, these first two verses, of what is to follow, where he gets really specific about widows and dealing with them and how they should be cared for and so forth. But generally, he gives us what we find here in these first two verses. So let's read those now this morning, and then we will look at each point here. Verse 1, chapter 5, 1 Timothy says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these words we have just read. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who will help us to understand them. And indeed, without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to understand what we have just read. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts about these things and that we might learn from them and from other scriptures about how we should conduct ourselves one with the other as the family that you have made us to be. Lord, we just thank you most of all for Christ, our Savior, who makes this possible. And we pray this indeed in his name and for his sake. Amen. All right, so there are four things that I want us to look at in these two verses. How we should deal with older men, older women, younger men, and younger women. And again, what he gives is just kind of a brief overview. We're going to look at some other corresponding passages that may help us see or shine a little light more clearly on this, but I want us to have it in our mind that as a congregation, we should be loving one another. Now that probably sounds a little bit simple. Like, you know, you might think, well, of course we are to love one another. But we must remember that we are fallen creatures in the flesh, and that this is not natural to us as far as the flesh is concerned. Now, we are certainly given the capability of loving one another, as we should, through that regeneration, that quickening of the Holy Spirit who gives us life, and so many other things that come with that spiritual life. But it's something we have to work at and work on. And in many ways, it is like a marriage. So many look at marriage as being something very romantic and, you know, you just kind of fall into and everything, you live happily ever after. But if you've been married more than a day or two, you know that it's not quite that simple. Sometimes marriage takes a great deal of work to maintain, just to maintain it, let alone grow it, okay? And so it is with our relationships with one another. As we come together as the people of God, and God has brought us together as a family, we have to work at our love for one another. So we're given some insight into this. Now, before we get into this, I do want to read a passage from John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And these are the words of Jesus himself. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Again, I just point out, the Lord had to make that a commandment, because that's not something we just naturally normally do. We must be commanded to do it, and therefore we must approach it really from that standpoint. But we can love one another, certainly. And so let us look here back at this passage in Timothy and talk about this from the four categories that I mentioned moments ago. First of all, let's talk about love for the older men in our family, in our spiritual family. It says in verse 1, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." Let me begin. I won't break this down, but I'm going to start in the middle with elder. What does it refer to? What is it referring to here when it says elder? The word here in the Greek is the same word that is used to speak of the spiritual leader of the church, the elder, the pastor of the church, and there can be other elders in a church congregation, I believe, but spiritual leaders in the church, okay? So that word is used for this. In fact, later in this very chapter, it is so used. But that is not the only meaning of the word in the Greek. It can mean simply an older man, someone who is advanced in their years, okay? And if we look at the context of these two verses, I believe that is the use of the word here. So it's not speaking of the pastor, it's speaking of any older man in the congregation, okay? I'll let you define what's old and what's young. I'm not going to set any limits there, okay? I'm just not. But in regards, that's what he's speaking of. It's in regards to older men in the congregation, a contrast. We see a contrast here with age. It is contrasted with younger men and then elder women and younger women, viewing them as sisters. So we're talking about the older men, I believe, in the congregation. It says, the first part of the verse says, "Rebuke not." And the meaning here, literally speaking, is it means strike not hard upon. And not meaning physically, but with words. Don't strike hard upon an older brother, older man in the church. We're not to rebuke sharply. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot rebuke, because from time to time we all need rebuke. But it means we should be careful in doing that, very careful with an older man. It should be done gently, and it should be done with respect for them. If we continue and look later in the verse, it says, but entreat him as a father. The word entreat here means to call near, to implore or plead, to exhort, to comfort, to encourage. So rather than rebuking sharply or harshly, if the need arises, we are to be much more careful, much more delicate. And the key word, I think, here being we must be very respectful. In fact, it says, entreat him as a father. We should give to the older men in our congregation the respect that we would give to our earthly father. We should give to our earthly father. Now, this applies as well to older women, as we will see in a moment. So at this point, I want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So we know we are to treat our earthly physical fathers and mothers with a great respect and a great honor. We are to honor them and obey them and so forth. Well, we should take that same approach to those who are older men in our congregation and treat them as we would our own father. So let me summarize what we're saying here about older men by drawing your attention to Titus chapter 2. You might want to go ahead and turn there, because as we go along here, we're going to look at these verses that we find in chapter 2 of Titus. Titus chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men or older men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So Paul's instructions to Titus here, this is how our older men should be and how they should be conducting themselves. They should be sober. That means they should be serious-minded about the things of God. That they should be grave. Well looked upon. They should conduct themselves, let's say, as gentlemen. All right? They should be temperate, meaning disciplined. They should be sound in the faith and in love, that's charity, and in patience. They should be sound in those things. We should expect that of our older men. And therefore, they should earn and should have our respect and our honor as we look up to them. I keep saying us. You know, I'm positioning myself in the middle, looking at both sides as I try to preach this. So there should be, it's kind of two sides of a coin here. Our older men should conduct themselves in the way we find here in Titus, and we should respect them as such and treat them with honor and in love in our relationship with them. Now let's look at the latter part of verse 2, and we'll talk now secondly about how we should love younger men. It says there at the end of verse 1, after it says what it says about the elder, and we should entreat him as a father for the elder, and the younger men, meaning entreat the younger men as brethren. In other words, we should look upon the younger men in our congregation as though they were our brothers. And so we should treat them with a love and respect also. But sometimes that might require a sterner rebuke, if necessary. Younger men have much to learn. from instruction and also from experience, and often need a firm hand to guide them. I think particularly of teenage boys and as they grow into manhood and into their 20s and those years, how they need they really need a firm hand there. And it starts when they're young children all the way through that time. And I think we often have commented how we can look upon our society today and we see so many homes that don't have fathers in the homes. And consequently, we are seeing many children who have not had that firm hand as they should have had, that really should come from a father being in the home. But it's necessary, and we should look upon our younger men and be prepared to rebuke them and guide them and direct them as need be. But this should be done not in a way of lording over them, but where they are treated as equals and as brothers. First Peter, he gives this instruction in chapter 5, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples to the flock. So we shouldn't look down upon our young men and lord over them when they need instruction or when they might need discipline. We should do so with love. Again, looking back into Titus chapter 2, where he said in verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, we find down in verse 6 that he says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Now, John Gill says of this that we should teach our young men to be temperate, chaste, modest, moderate, wise, and prudent in all things. Those are the things that we become when we get older. But we've got to get there. And there has to be a teaching and a learning and a guiding and a modeling for our young men for them to achieve that place where someday they will be given the respect of a father. And you don't get there overnight, and you certainly don't get there easily. Life can be such a struggle and a challenge, particularly for a believer, when we are assaulted on every side by the immorality in the society around us. It can be very difficult for a young man to grow in these things. But we must give attention to this, and we must help with this, and we must do so in love. I think some key words to remember as we pause for a moment here is we should treat our older men with respect and our younger men with a sense of fellowship and a sense of we are in this together. Let's come alongside each other and help one another be better. Okay? Now let's look at the third thing. Our older women, our love for them. Verse 2. We should entreat, carrying that word over from the previous verse, the elder women as mothers. Our older women in the church should be treated with the respect and with the reverence that you should treat your mother with. When they offend, they should be reasoned and pleaded with, as children should with their mothers. I can remember a few occasions as I think of my own relationship with my mother where that had to be worked out. It's difficult, isn't it, to try to talk to your mother or your father for that matter about something maybe that they have done wrong and try to deal with that. It's difficult. And how do you approach that? You approach it with love and a great deal of respect and you don't press upon them, and you're gentle and so forth. And that's how we should view the older ladies in our church. We need to remember in this our Lord's example with his mother at the cross and how he showed respect for her John chapter 19 tells us about this in verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, and we take that to be John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Our Lord, as one of the last things that he did there upon the cross, before it was all finished, one of the very last things that he got in that must have been done before he could die, was to take care of his mother, make sure she was cared for when he died. And he gave that responsibility over to the Apostle John. So he shows there a great concern and a great affection and love for his mother. And it's that kind of thing that we should show for all of the older women in our church, in our congregation. If we look again at Titus chapter 2 on this, verses 3 and 4, it says, The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. So there is a great responsibility there for our older women, as they are to teach our younger women how to behave, how to act, how to be the things that Paul says they should be there to Titus, how their behavior should become of holiness, how they shouldn't be false accusers, how they shouldn't be given to much wine. Well, you have to work towards those things, okay? Like we said about the men, you don't get there overnight. It takes a while to get there, and a lot of work to get there. And we should be helping the younger women do that, and our older women should be models of that for them. And therefore, they should have our respect and our honor and our love for that important role that they play. And then, fourthly, we look at the younger women. In the latter part of verse 2, it says, we should entreat the younger as sisters with all purity. The younger women in our congregation should be treated by us as sisters. That's how we should look upon them, with whom we might need to instruct, we might need to rebuke as needed, just like we do the young men. But above all, as this verse emphasizes, there must be a purity in the relationship. And I think the idea that we can take from this is that we should have that approach of a protective brother who is concerned for the reputation and the honor of his sister. I think that's something that is failing in our society today. It seems to me our society today horribly exploits our younger women, particularly from a sexual viewpoint. This is so ungodly, and it's a blight upon our nation. We need to remember the instruction that Paul gives to the Philippians about the things that we should think about, things that are honorable and pure. And that's how we certainly should look at the younger women in our congregation, and we should treat them that way. And we should help them understand their need to express that purity as well, as they grow and mature and someday become older women and examples for those who follow. Back, as we look back to Titus on this in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says about the older women that they may teach the young women to be, and here's what they should be taught to be: sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now you think, well, a mother has a natural instinct for that. And I believe that's so. I've observed that myself. But I also believe that when you have a society like ours that is moving so far away from God, those things get marred, even destroyed. And one of the sad comments upon our society today is the fact that there are young women who don't love their husbands and don't love their children based on the way they're treating them. It's terrible. I had to spend a little time with our son yesterday, and we were reminiscing about things as he was growing up in high school, and he played football and everything, and there was a young man that was in his class that he played football with, and we were talking about him, and he was a really good football player, in part because he was pretty... not sure mean would be the right word, but he was very tough in the way he approached football. And we talked about that and why that was so with this young man. And Caleb can look back on that now, and he made this observation that it had a lot to do with the life that this young man was growing up in. And he tells me, "Dad, I never told y'all this. There were times after football practice that I would take him home, give him a ride home to his house. And I'd go in, we might play video games or something like that." And he said, "I can remember times when we would come in and his mother would just be passed out from smoking weed or who knows what she might have been involved in. She would just be passed out." And he said, "You know, Brian, that's all he had. His father died when he was younger. And that's all he had, and that's all he knew." And Caleb kind of bonded to him because he came to understand that, and so Caleb tried to be a good friend for this young man and spend some time with him. There's a whole lot more of that kind of thing going on than we probably want to admit. And that's why we need instructions like this. And that's why we need not take for granted the fact that we are a spiritual family in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we each one need the other's help for us to grow and to become what God wants us to be. In Titus, Paul continues. He says that they love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Chaste means sexually pure. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, if you look at these things, I think it's fairly obvious to most of us that these things that we see as being good things that we are instructed to do are viewed by the world around us as evil. And these things are abhorrent in their eyes. This whole idea that a woman should obey her husband, well, that's just wrong, according to the world. The whole idea that it's a good thing to keep your home, meaning take care of it, as the scriptures teach that women are to do, is viewed as a bad thing. A woman should be able to get out and do whatever she wants to. Well, no, Scripture gives us instructions. And not just about our young women, but as we saw about our young men too, about how we are to conduct ourselves and how we're to be as believers in the Lord. I'm going to close with this. I think what we should take away from this above all is that we ought to treat our older men and our older women like we would our father or our mother. And that we should treat our younger men and our younger women as if they were our brothers and sisters. Because in Christ, all these things are true. And in Christ, we are given an amazing opportunity to experience life that's built upon His love for us And then our love, that same love that he has for us, we should take that and have that love for one another. And that is a precious and wonderful thing. And that's what can make a meeting, a gathering like we have here this morning, so wonderful. That's what can make this seem like that harbor, that calm, safe place where we can go when the storms are raging. And that's why we need to give great attention and great effort to loving one another. That means correcting one another when we're wrong. That's a good thing when done correctly according to the Word of God. But that means understanding that we're all in this together, and that God has put us together to help one another along. Now, we couldn't do it without his help and his power, his grace, his strength, all those things. But it can be done, and it must be done if we are to be that body of believers that God wants us to be. Amen. Consider that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can indeed relate to one another with this love that you give to us and that you show to us, an unconditional love, an eternal kind of love. And we're certainly not as good at it as you are, oh God. But we can do this. And by your grace, we pray, Lord, that we might do this, we might demonstrate this, so that those outside can see, indeed, that we are disciples, that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way. And may others who look in upon us see that very thing in us as we diligently work to love one another as you command us. Lord, we thank you that you first loved us. Amen. And that you have given to us that greatest of all gifts, eternal life, spiritual life. We thank you for your great patience with us as we learn these things about you and about how we should conduct ourselves. And again, oh Lord, just give us strength to do these things in a way that pleases you. We just pray this all in Jesus' name.